welcome to the third week of our series called Sacred Mysteries, God's Greatest Truths for Your Everyday Life. We're looking at some of Christianity's deepest beliefs. And while these beliefs are true, they can sometimes feel a little pie in the sky. You might wonder, how do they actually affect my life? That's what this series is about. 2 weeks ago, we started by looking at the first of these sacred mysteries. We said that when Jesus ascended or went back into heaven, he did not leave us in this world alone like orphans. He ascended to take his throne in heaven. And because he is on that throne in heaven, we are not alone. He is still with us, still in control, still watching over our lives. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. We said that with the Spirit of God living in us, we have the power to change and grow, to become the people God made us to be. We have the power to stop giving into the same temptations, stop making the same mistakes, stop allowing the same compromises to rule our lives. You can stay joyful in adversity, peaceful in tough situations, and loving even when others aren't. You are not powerless. The key is learning to live from the power of the Spirit living in you. Today, we're going to look at a third sacred mystery, the Holy Trinity. And before anything existed, God already lived in an eternal communion of life and love with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And what that means for your life is that your existence is not arbitrary. It wasn't an afterthought or an accident. It wasn't because God needed someone to love. He already had that. Instead, the God who is love did something amazing, something extraordinary, something he did not have to do. That's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk with you today about made with love. If you were to ask a lot of people what God is like, many would say that he's powerful, but distant, maybe even a little hard to know. This is how human beings have often thought of God, like he's an impersonal force, an intelligent designer of the universe, a so-called higher power, but not necessarily someone who is deeply relational. The ancient gods were often seen as unpredictable, easily angered, and often cruel to human beings. Greek philosophers described God as the unmoved mover, a perfect creator, but detached from humanity. Modern thinkers thought about God as a kind of a clockmaker. He made the universe, wound it up like a clock, and then walked away. In our own spiritual but not religious world, God has basically become synonymous with the universe, which means that he's not actively involved in your life. A man named Todd Lehman wrote a book called Dinner at God's House. He came to speak to a group of people here at St. Hilary recently about his personal struggle with faith. And in the book, he is invited to have dinner with God, where he is confronted with the gap between what he knows about God intellectually and what he actually believes. And as the story unfolds, he comes to realize that his greatest obstacle is not doubt about whether God exists, but doubt about whether God really loves him. Unfortunately, that is how a lot of people feel. A recent study by the Pew Foundation found that about 90% of people in this country believe in God, but about a third of them think of him as a kind of a higher power, not really a personal God. And that's why the Holy Trinity matters so much. It reveals something that you and I could never have figured out on our own. That at the center of everything is not some solitary being living alone somewhere in the universe, not an impersonal force, an indifferent deity, an uncaring creator, but a communion of love. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit living together and loving each other forever and inviting us to share in that love. That means you were not created to wonder whether you are really loved. He does love you. He does care about you. You are made with love. In the scripture, God rescued the ancient Israelites from slavery after 400 years. They must have thought that he had forgotten about them. But when the time was right, Moses led the people out of Egypt into the desert. They came to a place called Mount Sinai. Moses went up the mountain to talk with God. He was gone a long time. And unfortunately, when the leader is absent, the people often get into trouble. And that's what happened here. He was gone so long, the people thought, well, both he and God had abandoned them again. So they took all the jewelry that the Egyptian people had given them, melted it down, and made a golden calf and worshiped it. When Moses came down and saw what was happening, he was furious. He got so angry, he smashed on the ground two stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments God had given him at the top of that mountain. The whole thing was a disaster. The people thought, well, that's it. We've really blown it this time. God is gone for good. And they would have had a good reason to believe that, because Moses tried to make amends, but at first God wouldn't hear of it. He called the people stiff-necked, ungrateful, and refused to go along in their company any further. But the very next day, as we heard in today's first reading, Moses went back up the mountain, carrying two new stone tablets. I'm sure the people were on pins and needles, worried about what was going to happen next as Moses slowly trudged up that mountain a second time. This is what happens when we make mistakes, especially serious ones. We sometimes think that God goes away and finds someone else to love. But he will never abandon you. Even when you fail, do things you're not proud of, God will never walk away from you. He will never wash his hands of you. He is not like people. There is nothing you could ever do that would make him love you any less. He has loved you from all eternity. He loved you in your mother's womb. He loves you when you are at your best, and he loves you when you are at your worst. He will always love you because he made you with love. When I turned 15, I got my learner's permit, and my mother taught me how to drive. Every day after school, she would take me out in her 1972 Toyota Corolla. That was a fun trip, the manual steering and everything. Anyway, I was grateful she taught me how to drive. She would show me the instruments, how things worked, and how to accelerate and brake and steer the car. And eventually, she let me take the wheel myself. We started in wide open parking lots, but soon I graduated to the small roads around our neighborhood. Well, one day I needed to turn around, so I pulled into someone's driveway, and my mother carefully instructed me on how to back up. She told me to shift into reverse, turn all the way around so I could see everything behind me. This was, of course, before backup cameras. Well, I pressed the accelerator a little too hard accidentally. The car started flying backwards. I panicked and lost control. We hit a tree, and the entire right-hand side of the trunk was smashed in. I felt sick to my stomach, like I was going to throw up. Needless to say, my mom drove us back to the house. Well, when my father came home that evening, something I was definitely dreading, he said that we could not report the accident to the insurance company because it would caused the premiums to go up too much, and we couldn't afford to repair the damage on our own. So for years and years, my poor mother had to drive that car all around town with a crumpled-in trunk. She drove it to the store, to church, to pick me up at school. I'm sure she was embarrassed, and so was I. The worst part was I knew I was the one who had caused all that damage. Every time I saw that accordion-shaped trunk, I felt so bad. Do you know what? My mother never yelled at me about it, never blamed me for the accident, told me it was my fault, never even got upset. She just kept loving me after I had made that mistake. I will never forget her kindness. This is what our God is like. When Moses went up that mountain a second time, God didn't hold a grudge. He did something amazing. He came down in a cloud, And Moses called out, Lord. And then the passage says that the Lord passed before Moses and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in fidelity and kindness and fidelity. God could have displayed his awesome power to Moses. He could have demonstrated his infinite wisdom, but instead God chose to reveal his heart, who he is at the core, a God of mercy and patience and steadfast love. Maybe some of you have kind of a rough past. You struggled with an addiction or a temper you couldn't seem to control, cheated it in your business or in your marriage, and treated people unfairly, turned your back on God at some point in your life. None of that changes the situation. God still loves you. He will never walk away from you like some people do. He will always be there for you because he made you with love. And the best part of that is you don't have to earn that love. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to measure up and never make a mistake. This is what Jesus once tried to explain to a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night looking for answers. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a respected religious leader of that time. Pharisees were like teachers. They traveled from village to village, instructing the people on the law of Moses, what to do and what not to do to stay in God's good grace and favor. But see, this is where Nicodemus was coming from. He was thinking in terms of spiritual achievement. What does someone have to do? What do I have to do to get into God's kingdom and be loved by him? Well, Jesus' answer must have shocked Nicodemus, because Jesus basically said, nothing except being born from above. You don't have to do more work. You don't have to follow more commandments. You simply have to be born from above. Jesus was saying that access to God is not about climbing up on our own insight, our own power, our own effort, our own merit. It's simply about receiving a new life in Christ and seeking to grow in that life every day. Jesus went on to deliver the punchline in that conversation with Nicodemus when he said in today's gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God is not standing at the top of some ladder waiting for the righteous to reach him. He is the one who moves first, the one who loves, who gives, who sends, the one who so loved the world. And that means the whole world. And that means you. No matter what you've done, how far you've fallen, or how much you doubt. When astronauts fly into space, they often experience something called the astronaut effect. It's this overwhelming feeling of awe and wonder after seeing the universe and observing the cosmos up close. Well, recently, one of the astronauts on the Artemis II space mission shared how completely unprepared he was for the grandeur of that experience. He said he was simply confounded, simply could not comprehend the absolute and infinite beauty of what he had seen. And back on Earth, after they splashed down, he was on the ship and he called for the Navy chaplain. This astronaut had never been a religious man, but he wanted to unpack what he had seen, what he had experienced. And when that chaplain came to see him, the astronaut looked at that cross on the chaplain's uniform and he said, he broke down into tears. Another astronaut, Victor Glover, shared how he felt when he looked back on Earth from space. Take a look at what he said.
And you know, when I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us who were created, it's you have this amazing place, this spaceship. You guys are talking to us because we're in a spaceship really far from Earth, but you're on a spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live in the universe, in the cosmos. Maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but we're the same distance from you, and I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together.
Glover said that our world, when you see it from outer space, is like this beautiful oasis in the middle of what otherwise appears to be a vast expanse of nothing. And that, he says, makes us special. God looked at our world, even with all the wars and the conflicts, despite the distrust and misunderstandings among people, despite the absolute malevolence we often inflict on each other, and still thought the human race was worthy of being saved, worthy of being loved, because he made us with love. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit exist in an unending relationship of love. And that eternal love spills over into our lives. And you do not have to prove yourself worthy of that love. Your Heavenly Father has already poured out his heart on all of us. He fashioned the universe, created the countless galaxies, and made this earth our home to dwell in and inhabit together. And that means you are not alone. You are not powerless. You are not without love. Because the God who made you made you with love. So as Paul says in today's second reading, let us mend our ways. Encourage one another, agree with one another, and live in peace.